Yeah.
So we want to look at is Rav Tzadok HaKohen. And as you know, we're about to enter into Lad Va'Omer. I can still say those words because it's not, you know, Ben HaShmashos of going into Lad Va'Omer. We only count to 31, so we have a little bit of time. And that day of Lad Va'Omer is called Hilula Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And the word Hilula, which is an Aramaic word, in English would be translated as a celebration. And why? Why is Lag Ba'Omer a celebration of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? And the paradoxical answer to that question is Mipnesha Bo Bayom Nistalik. That represents, that day commemorates the Yahrzeit, the passing of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rav Tzadok is a little bit upset about this. He says, Achshem Atzinu, we found Shekavu Tainis Biyom Misa Tzadikim. There seems to be a contradiction, a conflict in our minhagim. On the one hand, our minhag is to celebrate with a great deal of joy the Yahrzeit, the day of the death of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. On the other hand, we find with regard to Tzadikim, on the day of their death, we fast. It's anything but a celebration with eating and drinking. For example, he says the 7th of Adar, which is the anniversary of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, on that day we fast. I don't know if anybody here has that minhag, but there is such a minhag. They fast on that day. V'chein, Rosh Chodesh Av, on the 1st of Av is a fast day. Achshu Rosh Chodesh, even though generally speaking we're enjoined from fasting on Rosh Chodesh, but nevertheless we're allowed to fast on one particular Rosh Chodesh, that's Rosh Chodesh Av, Mipneshu Yom Petiras Aaron HaKohen. That's the anniversary of the death of Aaron. So we have 2 days in which there's a minute to fast. And all this is codified in what's called Megillas Tainis, which is a small Masechta that is dedicated to the calendar, the Hebrew calendar. And you'll see this all in Aruch Chaim, Simon Tuf Kuf Pei, and there it is codified. So I'll just read to you, you don't have this on your page. What does it say in Tuf Kuf Pei? It says, Elu Hayomim She'iru bohem tzoros lavoseinu v'roilis anos bohem. These are the days, says the Shulchan Aruch, that we had tzoros, our forefathers, our ancestors, and therefore it's appropriate to fast on these days. Afal pishem ektsosim Rosh Chodesh. Even if it's on Rosh Chodesh in certain cases, nevertheless, you're allowed to fast. And he gives you a list of those days. He has, again, a lot of this is not relevant to us. I'll just mention it quickly in passing. On the 1st of Nisan, the Bnei Aaron died. So some people fast on that day. On the 10th of Nisan, Miriam died. And the Be'er stopped. And that's a day in which some people fast. On the 26th of Nisan, Yoshua ben Nun died. So Nisan is a month that's full of yard sites for some of our great ancestors. He goes on to give a whole nother list for Iyar. For example, on the 10th of Iyar, Eliyah Cohen and his 2 sons died, and the Aaron Bris Hashem was taken captivity by the Plishtim. And then again, there's a whole long list here which you can take a look in Shulchan Aruch and Tav Kuf Pei. What's relevant to us is he says, Be Echad Be Av, on the 1st of Av, Mace Aaron HaKohen. And then he says, Be Zayin Ba'adar, Mace Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see over and over again that the Shulchan Aruch allows, and shall I say, justifies those people who have the minhag to fast, even if it's a Rosh Chodesh, for example, the case of the day of Aaron's death, which is Rosh Chodesh, and also in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, which is Zayin Adar, people have the minhag of fasting. So now we go back to Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who comes back to ask the question, so why are we celebrating? It's a paradox to celebrate on the Yom Hilula the yard site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Velama, he says on the fourth line, if you want to underline that, Biptiras Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Asu Yantif. That seems so contradictory, antithetical to what we've been saying in Simon Kuf Tof Kuf Pei, where we justify the minog and perhaps even advocate in favor of that minog to fast on a day of the death of a tzaddik. In the case of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, we're doing just the opposite. You know, we're really enjoying it. Oh, so now he comes up with the following fundamental distinction. He says that when we talk about tzaddikim, the death of tzaddikim, tzaddikim fall under two different categories. Anybody familiar with this? It's a big chiddush. You know, I could categorize tzaddikim in many different ways. There are tzaddikim who are exceptional in their leadership qualities. There are tzaddikim who are more private in their piety. For example, the Vilna Gaon was a much more private, introverted person. He had a few talmidim, five talmidim probably, who came in and out of his house. The Baal Shem Tov, on the other hand, was exoteric. You know, he was very outgoing as a tzaddik. He had a tremendous influence on the masses.
But only when he came out for a long time in his life, he was also like
secluded.
Secluded.
You could possibly talk about tzaddikim under the following categories. There are tzaddikim who are known for their love, like Aaron HaKohen, and Moshe Rabbeinu is a little bit more of, shall I say, a harsh kind of leader. You know, he's there to castigate the people. He also has a hidden love for the people. You might categorize tzaddikim as Bein Adam L'Chaveiro tzaddikim and Bein Adam L'Makom tzaddikim. He comes up with a whole new categorization. He says, Masha Matzinu Tainis tzaddikim. He says the concept of tainis for tzaddikim, dafka b'tzaddikim shahoyu mishoresh. Okay, so let's underline the word shoresh. Okay, shoresh is a Kabbalistic word. You know, shoresh literally means a root, right? For example, you go to a dentist, you go for tipul shoresh, right? Root canal work. But so the word shoresh means a root. But in Kabbalistic terms, I'm not a Kabbalist, so I don't know beans about what I'm telling you, but there's a concept in Kabbalah of a shoresh. Shoresh means that in terms of the worlds, the divine worlds above, there's something called a shoresh. And there are two categories of tzaddikim in terms of the shoresh. There's one shoresh which is called Torah Shebichsav, which literally means the five books of Moses, and possibly also Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And then there's something called the shoresh called Torah Shebaal Peh. And this distinction goes way beyond just the technical distinction between the written Torah and the oral Torah. It has something to do with the way Torah is transmitted. For example, where would you say there's more room for individual creativity? In Torah Shebichsav is the transmission. Where does the Rebbe, so to speak, as he passes on the Torah, where does he play more of a personal role? His personality, his worldview, his insights. Is it Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav,
he's limited.
He's very limited. He's basically just transmitting the words, and that's about it. Because these are the words of Almighty God. But and therefore you would think that if you wanted to fast, you know, if you want to commemorate the loss, the great loss of a tzaddik, which tzaddikim do we feel lost without? You know, having would it be the Torah Shebaal Peh or the Torah Shebichsav tzaddikim? Yeah, it would be Baal Peh, because if a teacher of Torah Shebaal Peh is gone, for example, who is the greatest teacher of Torah Shebaal Peh? I'm just quizzing you. Anybody know? Even greater than Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is Rabbi Akiva. In Chazal, Rabbi Akiva is called the Av of Torah Shebaal Peh. Let me create a ratio if I can. Rabbi Akiva is to Torah Shebaal Peh as Moshe Rabbeinu is to Torah Shebichsav. That equation. And Chazal say, Kulam Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Any Mishnais that we have from Rabbi Yehuda Nos, it's always according to Rabbi Akiva, unless we know otherwise. When Rabbi Akiva dies, that's a tragic day. I'm not saying that the death of Moshe Rabbeinu is not tragic, but in a certain sense, I would rather fast on the death of Rabbi Akiva because his tradition of Torah Shebal Peh, his Mesoras HaTorah is gone. Moshe Rabbeinu, I still have the Torah because the Torah is written. Comes along Reb Tzadok HaKohen and he says, can I use a Yiddish phrase here and you'll forgive me for it? Poof, I can't. The exact opposite is true. We're going to fast for the loss of Torah Shebichsav, and the reason for that is because Torah Shebichsav is the fundamentals. Everything is predicated on Torah Shebichsav. Chazal tell us that Torah Shebichsav has everything in it. Everything is inherent somehow in Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is called Or, is called light. The light shines through from Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebal Peh is a little darker. Torah Shebal Peh is more of a tircha and a pain and a tsar, you know, to come up with a grasp on Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, when we lose the fundamentals, you know, that's like the first generation. I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase, the founding fathers. You know, that Moshe and Aaron are the founding fathers. And therefore, with the loss of Moshe and Aaron, which is Torah Shebichsav, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, we fast. Now we get to Torah Shebal Peh, and I would ask you the following question: Is Reb Tzadok HaKohen going to tell us that the tzaddikim who transmitted Torah Shebal Peh, those days are called celebration days? For example, we don't find that we commemorate the anniversary of the greatest tzaddik of Torah Shebal Peh, namely whom? Rabbi Akiva, with celebration. I never heard of a Yoma Hilula the Rabbi Akiva. So we're not out in the clear yet. You know, even if I accept this breakthrough, this revolution of Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, that we should compare and contrast Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Chsav, we have to be fasting on the Yahrzeit side. But in Torah Shebal Peh, we should be celebrating. And that justifies why Moshe of the Aaron, on the one hand, is a day of Tainus. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai, insofar as he represents Torah Shebal Peh, is a Hilula, but we're still not, you know, we're still not around the bases yet. We still haven't come to home plate. Because we still have a problem, because this seems to be a unique feature of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. He says again, Masha matzinu tainis tzaddikim b'misas harugei malchus. Oh, he says the following. What happens in the case of Rabbi Akiva? You would expect that Rabbi Akiva, insofar as he represents Torah Shebal Peh, right? Torah Shebal Peh, that's his Shoresh. We should be celebrating on the anniversary of his death. Comes along Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen with another distinction. You know, Raboso, what we need here is a luach, what's it called in English? A blackboard. Yeah, we need a flowchart here, because even when you get to Torah Shebal Peh, and you want to know whether there should be a Yom HaHilula on the anniversary of a tzaddik of Torah Shebal Peh, here too it bifurcates, it splits, right? So you've got on the top line, you've got Torah Shebal Chsav, Torah Shebal Peh, and now you take Torah Shebal Peh, you split. And the question is, how did the tzaddik die? Did he die a natural death, or was he murdered? If he died a natural death, then we can commemorate his death. And again, we don't know why we're going to celebrate. That has to become clear. But we absolutely cannot celebrate the death of a tzaddik of Torah Shebal Peh if he was murdered. And therefore, even though you'll ask me, Lishitasi, says Rav Tzadok, what about Rabbi Akiva? Why not Yom HaDilula of the Misas Rabbi Akiva, insofar as he represents Torah Shebal Peh, he's the Av of Torah Shebal. The answer is, because he comes under the category of Harugei Malchus. He was murdered. And any of the greats of Torah Shebal Peh that were murdered, the anniversary of their death is anything but a Yom HaDilula. So again, so Moshe Rabbeinu, who Shoresh Torah Shebichsav, and therefore we're going to fast on the loss of Torah Shebetzah for Rabbi Akiva, even though he's the Shoresh of Torah Shebaal Peh. We cannot celebrate. Because what? He died at the hands of the Romans. He was murdered. He was tortured. He was killed by Arugei Malchus. Isa ben Medrash. Oh. Now, Rabosai, we get to the punchline of this whole discussion. The Isa ben Medrash. Now, in order to appreciate this Medrash, it's the next to last line on your in your first paragraph. You see that Isa ben Medrash?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in order to appreciate this Medrash, we're going to take a little bit of a detour here, a pause, and we're going to read a pasuk in Koheles. It says in Koheles, I don't know if you've ever, you know, thought about this pasuk. I'm sure you've heard it read every Chol HaMoed Sukkah, Shal HaShabbos Chol HaMoed. It says, Divrei Chachamim Kidarbonos. Now, darbonos are darts.
What? Goads.
It's called goads? I'm not familiar with that word. Goads?
G-O-A-D.
Okay. Goads, G-O-A-D?
Yeah.
Goads, okay.
Thorns.
What do you say?
I would say thorns.
Thorns or, like, darts. In other words, anything that's very, what they used to do is, spiking, the animals, when they would thresh, which is called harisha, they had to be controlled by a yoke in such a way that they wouldn't deviate to the right or to the left. They would create a straight line. And how did you make sure to guarantee that the animals would go in a straight line? You use what's called darbanot. You know, the animals were afraid of these spikes. Well, that's the best word, spikes. Okay? Now, what it means, spikes is to guide the animal. Now, that's all a metaphor for the chacham who have to guide us. The Chachamim are in charge of guiding us to make sure we don't veer to the right or to the left. So Divrei Chachamim that are meant to supervise and discipline the Jew, they are compared by Shlomo Melech to what? To Darbonos. Ukimasmeros Netuim, and like nails that are fastened. Fine. But now, Rabosa, we get to the key phrase. This is what I want you to underline. Balei Asufos. Balei Asufos means collections. La Asof is to collect. Now what that really means is that in Torah Shebaal Peh you can have many different Rebbes, and each Rebbe, you know, he transmits the Torah the way he understands the Torah. But ultimately, says Shlomo HaMelech, Asufos, you can gather together all these Divrei Torah. Why? Because Nitnu Miroa Echad. They have one source. They come from the same shepherd. In other words, the Divrei Torah, even though they're very, in the case of Torah Shebaal Peh, there's a very personal element, and we have controversies, and we have difference of opinion. But nevertheless, as long as each opinion is anchored in Torah, it's not that somebody, you know, just decides, you know, he wants to say what he wants to say. But it's part of his Mesorah, the way he was given a tradition to understand the Torah. Then it becomes Balei Asufos, which means they all come from the same source. So you take a look at the Medrash Rabbah, which is in the middle of your indented section on the second paragraph. He says, "Balei Asufos Emahim Netu Emosayim Netuim T'Bedivrei Torah BiOdam Azeh Bizman SheBaleim Nesofim Eihem Kolzman." Oh, okay. Now we get to the punchline. So you might want to underline the following words. Again, I hope you don't mind that I tell you what to underline. Oh, Doc, you take me seriously. That's great. No one else seems to take me seriously when I say it on the line. Okay, but you know, Yochid Yotzis Lo Ro. So please underline these words. He says, "Calls Mancha Rabo Kayom, Hu Haya Maflig Lomar, but calls Mancha Nitzrach Hare Rebbe Lefanai Vani Shoel." Mace Rabo, Yoga. Okay, this is very much. Look, the key words here is Kolzman Sherabo Kaya. What does that mean, Kolzman Sherabo Kaya?
As long as he's still alive.
What does the Talmud, who's receiving a tradition, a transmission from his Rebbe, what does he have to do as long as his Rebbe is alive?
He can go back to him and ask.
Correct. And not only does he go back to him and ask, but he's totally dependent upon his Rebbe. In other words, he's not allowed to deviate from his Rebbe, because his Rebbe is going to have the greatest impact on his thinking in Torah. He's going to design and carve, you know, carve the Derech HaLimud. And all this is Kol Zman She Rabo Kayam. What's the next stage, Rabo Sai? What's the flip side of Kol Zman She Rabo Kayam? The day of his death. The day of the death of a Rebbe, that's, you'll see in the bottom paragraph here, the long paragraph, by Yom Shenistalik, on that very day of the Rebbe's passing, Oz Nikbu Hadivrei Torah Belevav Yisrael Talmidov. Wow, this is an amazing concept. He's saying that, you know what, as long as I'm receiving Torah, because my Rebbe's alive, then the Torah has not yet really penetrated into my soul. But once, as the Rebbe passes, I now take over, because in a sense there's no longer a tradition to the Rebbe. We can no longer transmit the Torah to the Rebbe. The Rebbe has been taken from us. Now, whether the Talmud likes it or not, there's an amazing, enormous, immense, you know, responsibility that's been placed on his shoulder for him to pass on the Torah. He now becomes the replacement of his Rebbe. Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Hoya Talmud, Rabbi Akiva, the greatest of all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, was Rav Shimon bar Yochai. The Amar Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon declares in Masechta Gittin, Shanu Midosai, please study my approach, my methodology. Learn from me. Why? Is it because I'm great? Is Reb Shimon bar Yochai boasting about himself? Self-aggrandizement? No. Shemidosai trumos mi trumos mi dosav shem Akiva. What you're going to get from me is a reflection of a reflection, you know, some sort of an extension, but ultimately something from the methodology of Rabbi Akiva. Vahainu, what this means is Shoresh limudai Rabbi Akiva. The root of me, of my study of Torah, is Rabbi Akiva. And at what day in the calendar year did Rav Shimon bar Yochai emerge as Kvius Divrei Torah Beliva? On Lag BaOmer. That's what happened on Lag BaOmer. V'hoye ze b'Lag BaOmer b'Sfiras Hod Shebahod. Now, before we get to the Sfiras Hod Shebahod, what we want to suggest here is that Rav Tzadik is trying to justify the concept of Yom Dehilula, which is very paradoxical, because we're talking about the day in which Rav Shimon bar Yochai dies. Why should the day of the death of Tzadikim be a Yom Dehilula? The answer is because when one Tzadik dies, then his Talmud or his Talmidim now emerge as, so to speak, the original Rebbeim. Now they have to pass on the Torah. On what day did Rabbi Akiva pass his Torah on to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in such a way that now Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai takes over? We have to learn from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai to learn about Rabbi Akiva's tradition. That's on Lag BaOmer.
What happened on Lag BaOmer?
Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai died.
No. Yes, but that's nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva.
No, not Rabbi Akiva. Again, we should have celebrated the death of Rabbi Akiva, but we can't because of a different reason, because of Haruge Malchus.
Okay.
But in the case of the death of a tzaddik, if it wasn't a murder on the part of our enemies, but rather it was a natural death, the natural death represents that period of time which was divinely inspired, that the Talmud should take over from his Rebbe.
That's the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva again.
Correct. So why are we celebrating the death of Rav Shimon bar Yochai? We should have been celebrating the death of Rabbi Akiva. Rav Shimon bar Yochai took over. That we can't do for a technical reason. But Rav Shimon bar Yochai dies a natural death. Now his Talmidim, which is basically all of Klal Yisrael, again, I don't want to get let the cat out of the bag here, the punchline, but we now celebrate the day of the death of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, because now we take over the teaching of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So all the teaching of Rav Shimon bar Yochai now become nikboim b'liboseim shel Yisrael on the day of the death of Rav Shimon bar Yochai.
At what stage after Rabbi Akiva died did Rav Shimon bar Yochai live? Was he
how long of a period of time? I'm not sure. I think it was 2 decades. I would have to check that out.
So they didn't live at the same time.
Well, I mean, they overlapped for I would say about 50, 60 years.
I see. So then when he died, so in other words, so when Rabbi Akiva died, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai became the
leader. He became the source of Torah.
And when he died, then he
passed on to all the Talmud. Now, what is the significance of Lag BaOmer? We know that the days of the Omer also commemorate different spheros. You know that there are seven...
Mystical.
That's a mystical concept. There are seven spheros connected to the 7 weeks of the Omer. And we're now in the 5th week of the Omer, which corresponds to the attribute of Hod. Correct? Now, that week of Hod itself subdivides into 7 parts. So, for example, the first day of Sunday, which was the first day of the 5th week, that's called Chesed Shebahod. And when you get to the 5th day of the 5th week, that's called Hod Shebahod, and that's the day of Lag BaOmer. So Lag BaOmer is not coincidentally the anniversary of the death of Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Hod Shebahod. There's going to be an overlap between these two concepts. Now, we also know that there were 7 roim. There were 7 great ancestors, shepherds, who were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And each one of those shepherds correspond to another one of the seven attributes or the 7 spheros. In the case of the sphere of Hod, Aaron represents the sphere of Hod. Now, why is Aaron representing the sphere of Hod? Hod represents what's called Torah Shebal Peh. There's something called Netzach, that's Torah Shebichsav, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, and then there's Hod, which is Aaron HaKohen. Torah Shebal Peh represents creativity, original thought. And Aaron was the first person in history to employ what's called Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is the most dramatic of all the different midos Shatorah Nidreshes Behem, in the sense that it represents in a very profound way Torah Shebal Peh, because Torah Shebal Peh means creativity, and the most creative kind of midah that we can use to interpret the Torah is what's called Kal V'Chomer. Now, if you take a look inside, he says that it's not coincidental that the Shiva Roim, which are connected to the Sheva Midos, for Hu Hoya Gamkin, our Aaron HaKohen was also Shoresh of Torah Shebal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Hashalom, is Shoresh Torah Shebichsav. Aaron is Shoresh Torah Shebal Peh. And that's why the Kohanim, who come from Aaron, it says at the end of Tanakh, is Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das V'Torah Yivakshu Mipiu. And you should be Mavakesh Torah from the Kohen. So who is really, in a sense, heavily or primarily the charge or the responsibility of the transmission of Torah Shebal Peh? Who's in charge of that? Who's responsible for that? It's the Bnei Aaron. It's the Kohen. Now, just 1 second. I just want to see if he quotes the Kal V'Chomer here. Okay, he doesn't quote the Kal V'Chomer. This is, you remember that after Nadav Avihu were killed, they died, you know, with the Eish that came down from Shemayim to kill it. So the issue was what to do with their carbon, with their carbon chatos, whether it's Nechal, whether it's Nisraf. That's a complicated sugya. And at the end of the day, Aaron came up with a Kal V'Chomer, and based on that Kal V'Chomer, Moshe Rabbeinu determined what the halacha is with regard to that that Basar Kodesh. Anyway, Aaron becomes the Shoresh of Torah Shebal Peh, and he is the Mid of Hod. Hod means creativity. Now, does anybody know by chance which day in the calendar, the Hebrew calendar, I'll give you a hint, it's in the month of Iyar, coincides with Hod, with the beginning of Hod? Again, like Ba'omer, is going to be Hod Sheva Hod.
Pesach Sheni.
Pesach Sheni, exactly. Why is Pesach Sheni the kickoff of Hod? Keep in mind that Pesach Sheni is also the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh, because Hod is Torah Shebal Peh, which means the human element, the human creativity. What does Pesach Sheni have to do with the human creative mind?
Because the people called it.
That the Anashim came forward to Moshe and they said, well, what about us? We were Tmeim because of the Tumas mess that we contracted, and we weren't able to bring the Karbon Pesach in its time. Is there a possibility that the Halach would allow for us to make up the Karbon Pesach with a Tashlumin and a replacement? And in fact, the Anashim, the word Anashim means Anashim Chashuvim. How did they become Tmeim? Were they careless about it? They, you know, inadvertently they went into a...
They're carrying Yosef's bones.
According to one sheet, they're carrying Yosef's bones. According to another sheet, they were bearing Nadav Avihu. Whoever it was, they were doing an act of tzidkus. And they said that, you know what, it's illogical that because of this involvement in tzidkus, we should be excluded from the great Karbon Pesach, which is one of the most significant mitzvahs that we have. And Chazal say that an entire parsha in the Torah called Pesach Sheni was given through these Anoshim Chashuvim, because Moshe didn't know the answer, and Moshe came to the Ribono Shel Olam, and that's the famous principle of Misgalgalim Zchus Al Yedei Zakai. They were Zakoyim, they were meritous, and therefore they merited that a piece of the Torah should be given through them. So it's really fascinating, because all the Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, with the exception of one parsha. That's true, there are other parashas, but I'm just dramatizing right now. Kubit Slavchot is another case, but I'm not going into, just for the drama of it. They, on Pesach Sheni, was Zocha to bring down a parasha, and that parasha is brought down through an entirely different method. It's not the method of Torah Shebichsav, in which Hashem dictates the Torah to the ears of Moshe, and Moshe writes them like a scribe on a parchment. No. Moshe has to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah is given orally as a separate entity, a parsha called Torah Shebal Peh, a parsha called Pesach Sheni, and that coincides, that day, which is the 14th of Nisan, coincides with the first day of the fifth week of the Omer, which is called Hod, because Hod is Torah Shebal Peh. Again, we begin Torah Shebal Peh at the beginning of the fifth week, and the Hod Sheba Hod is the apex, the climax, which is on the fifth day of the fifth week, which is Lag BaOmer. That's pretty fascinating. No, I mean, it's again, I'm not a mystic, but it really is impressive. It's amazing.
The only thing I would say is that you say that Hod is creativity and that Kal Vachomer is creativity. I would say that Kal Vachomer is actually the opposite of creativity, because Kal Vachomer is logic. You don't need creativity to have logic. Logic is logic. Creativity is, if you like, outside of logic.
Well, again, you know, when you say Kal Vachomer is logic, it's not exactly the same as mathematical logic. Kal Vachomer has a logic of its own. And when it comes to the Torah Shebichsav, you know, in the context of Torah Shebichsav per se, there's no room for logic. I mean, the only rational faculty you need for Torah Shebichsav is to understand the meaning of the words. In the case of Torah Shebal Peh, you have to understand the underlying reasoning of a halacha. You know, what is the time of the mitzvah? What is the time of the isur? And that's what allows you to have a Kal Vachomer. Like, for example, today we're going to learn Chulin, and we're going to say that if Avram and Achai in a certain case is also to a Ben Noach, then how much more so should it be also to Yisrael? You know, but that's using creative logic, even though in the Torah it might say that only a Behemah Tahora is also in Avram and Achai, but since we know that in the case of Ben Noach, we can logically derive that a benach is also behavior. Again, I got off the basic, but in any event, the analytical tools that you need for Kal Vachomer, some of the most difficult sugyas in Shas are the sugyas of Kal Vachomer. That's where you have man playing a role that goes beyond just simply translating the words. Now we're analyzing. That analysis is typical of Torah Shebal Peh. Don?
The Kal Vachomer doesn't depend on us. It's handed down. You can't just make it.
Well, Gzeirah Shavah was handed down. I'm not sure about Kal Vachomer. Again, for us, we have a principle of Ein Adam Dorish Kal Vachomer, even though I have to tell you, off the record, there was Gdoli Yisrael in the last 100 years who employed the logic of Kal Vachomer on their own.
Well, if that's the case, it is creativity. I was trying to say
correct.
The opposite.
Correct. That's what I'm telling you, that Kal Vachomer is very creative. Gzeirah Shavah is not creative. Gzeirah Shavah is more tradition. In any event, let's just quickly see what he wants to say over here. He says, Sviras hochbaru shorish torshaval peh, kemo trumos, mitrumosov, shel midos, shel Rabbi Akiva, biomas histakluso, nikra hilulud, Rav Shimbai Chai. Why? Because Kol Yisrael Shevedoro, on that day in which Rav Shimon Yechai died, he was the Gadol Ador who taught Torah to the entire generation, is Kivlu. They accepted his Torah. I mean, of course they accepted his Torah during his lifetime, but it didn't go Kavua Belibam. V'nikba Belibam Oz Divrei Torah Shalom. Now Klal Yisrael is enriched. Again, it's a very paradoxical concept. But the death of a tzaddik, or the death of a teacher, In a sense is a holiday, a celebration, paradoxically, for the generation, because the generation now receives his Torah. Even though, again, on one level, his Torah was transmitted and they received his Torah even during his lifetime, but not Kavua Belivam. There's an existential difference here. There's a qualitative difference between receiving the Torah of the Rebbe while he's alive and posthumously, after his death. That's a transition to a whole new world in which the Talmidim now will receive the Torah in a different way. The Torah now penetrates into their very hearts, into their very beings, their very souls, and they become now the masters, so to speak, of that Torah. Now, do they understand the Torah as deeply, as profoundly as their Rebbe? The answer is no doubt no. But it doesn't matter. That's the way Torah evolves from one generation to the other. That was the comment of the Medrash on the Pasuk in Koheles. Balei Asufos. What does Balei Asufos mean? Now keep in mind, the word Aleph, Samach, Vav, Pei has two different meanings. It can mean to gather something together, and it can mean to what?
To collect.
To collect something together, and it can mean what? To pass on from this world, right? Do you remember the pasuk in Bereishis? It says Vayosef el Amav, and that also is a process of gathering. Why? Because all the Torah of that Rebbe is gathered together now and becomes kavua belibam, and that's what it means when the pasuk says Balei Asufos, those who now gather the Torah of the Rebbeim on the day of the death of the Rebbe. There's a concept of a yamin, which is Torah Shavachsav. There's a concept of a small, a left side, which is Torah Shabal Peh. The left side, by the way, is always the more confusing side. You know, Torah Shavachsav is crystal clear. As I said before, it's light. It's R. The spaces between the letters, that's already Torah Shebal Peh, that's confusing because they're blank spaces and we have to fill in those blank spaces. In my mind, by the way, this is off the record, I'm going to deny I said this, but the greatest example of confusion of the white, you know, blank spaces between the letters is Yom HaTzmaut, is the establishment of the State of Israel. Why is it that I can give you every extreme from here to there? I can tell you that those who see Yom HaTzmaut, the established state, as the darkest, bleakest day in Jewish history, and I can tell you those who believe the Gula is already here, the redemption is here. And in between, you have 50 different shades of gray, black, and blue. Because Yom HaTzmaut represents Torah Shebal Peh. It is confusing. It's difficult. We don't have nevuah. The Torah Shebichsav is not there. The clear-cut osios that are in black and white, in black, I mean, are not there. We're in the white blank spaces. And who could come and say with chutzpah that I know how to fill in those blank spaces?
But they have done it for the last 2,000 years. All sorts of other. Maybe we're too close.
I don't know. It takes a long time until, for example, today we have Hasidus and Misnagdus, which is now almost integrated. I can tell you from my shul in Arnov, it's wild. You can't figure out who's Hasidim, who's Misnagdus, which Minog represent this. It's Mishkababbled. But that's because the Mishnah says, Kol Machloka Shilashem Shemayim is Sofulis Kayim. What does Sofulis Kayim mean? Eventually, there's an Asifa, where we gather in the different traditions.
Let's take it 300
years.
Correct. And that's why Yom HaTzvut, I don't know how long it's going to take, but in the meantime, people are at each other's throats. These guys are saying Halil, and these guys are saying Tachnun, and they're waving the black flag. These guys are like, it's crazy. And the reason for it is because we are in that state of confusion. The Tanchuma in Parshas Noach is famous for saying that the study of Torah Shebaal Peh is painful. That's how the Tanchuma says it. It's so difficult. It requires such mysterious nefesh. There's no clarity. You have to work hard and rack your brains. You've got Beis Hillel and you've got Beit Shammai. And you and I may think, well, Beit Hillel has the upper hand. And it's really not so. Because in many cases, the Gemara says that Beit Shammai logically is mechudei tvei, they're sharper, they're more profound. There's even a statement in the Sefer Abba here, according to the mystical beliefs, that ultimately the whole thing is going to change and we're going to accept Beit Shammai. Right now we don't understand. The Arizal, for example. The Arizal, back in five centuries ago, he tried to have an impact on the Beis Yosef. And to some extent, the Beis Yosef couldn't assimilate it all. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was the author of the Zohar. Not everyone could absorb the Zohar. In fact, according to the Ramah, if there's a contradiction between the Zohar and the system of halacha that we know of it, we're going to paskin like halacha, not like the Zohar. And other schools of thought have it otherwise. So we're dealing with what we call the Shoresh of Torah Shebaal Peh. And for example, Rabbi Akiva, he was the greatest one to see below the black letters of the Torah, which are clear, the Torah Shebaal, the Torah Shebichsav, he saw way beyond that. Hayadoresh Kisrei Osios. He saw things in letters that you and I would never see in a zillion years. And the Gemara says in Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the shir of Rabbi Akiva. He sat in the back and nishkefashtanin kinvot. He didn't understand a word of what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. So he got very upset and he said to Ribbono Shalom, this is what you're taking me to hear Rabbi Akiva's shir, I don't know what he's talking about. And then, just at that second, some of the Talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva, how do you know such a thing? So he said, it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Then Moshe Rabbeinu would calm down. The Isa b'medrash dvar shlo niglu l'Moshe Rabbeinu niglu Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov. V'chol yakar rasa eino zer Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov. The pasuk that says that the yakar, the insights and the pearls of wisdom, that was Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. And that represents what he calls Tefillin Shabarash. Tefillin Shabarash is the Keser. Because again, Tefillin Shabiyad is the basic human element. Tefillin Shabarash is already, man, so to speak, in his ability to take off, to come up with new ideas and Keneged Amach. Rabbi Akiva, theoretically, In its original form, the death of Rabbi Akiva should have been a day of celebration. That's the day in which Rav Shimon Bar Yochai became the Rabban Shel Klal Yisrael. But Mipnei Sheneharak. Since he was killed, Rabbi Akiva was killed, therefore that day is not... It's a fluke in the system. It's not part of the system.
We don't know that day. We don't actually know when Rabbi Akiva was killed.
Let me check that out. If we know, we don't know. I'll tell you what we do know is the day that they took Rabbi Akiva captive, that was on the 5th of Tishrei. But I don't know how long after the 5th of Tishrei it was until Sarku Esposaro B'Masreka Shel Barzel, I don't think that we know
it's
that.
It's strange, isn't it, that the greatest sage of the Toshe Bal Peh, and we don't know when he died. It's a strange.
If he had died a natural death, we would know the day that he died, because that would be Yom Hilula. Mm.
It's interesting that we say we know where his kever is.
They say in Tveria they have his kever. I don't know. I'm not sure. Is that based on the Arizal or?
I've been there.
Yeah, it's in Tveria, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. There are people, by the way, who today and tomorrow on the way up to Meiron for the Hilul of the Rav Shimon Yochai, they will go to Tveria on the way up there. It's a little bit out of the way from Yerushalayim, but they'll make that detour in order to be at the kever of Rabbi Akiva. Now, you know, all the kfarim of the tzaddikim up in the Galil, you know, we don't really have historical basis. I'm not talking about those who died in the last 5 centuries who are buried in Tzfat. But if you go back, you know, 2,000 years, that's all based on Kabbalah, on the Arizal. He identified these places. But the point that we want to make here is that the day in which we commemorate the tragedy of Rabbi Akiva's death would be what? Even if we don't know exactly what the anniversary of his death would be. Tisha B'Av. That would be Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av is the day dedicated to all tragedies, especially to the Asorah Ruge Malchus. Even though, again, there's talk about the Asorah Ruge Malchus on Yom Kippur, but that's for a whole different reason. Not to be confused with Tisha B'Av. Two different reasons.
One of the keynote is on the Asorah.
Correct. The Arz Alvana, yeah, that's a very profound kina. And I was once in Lakewood Yeshiva on Tisha B'Av, and one Talmud started crying when they got up to the Asar Ruge Malchus, and within minutes the entire yeshiva was crying. It was amazing to see it. Hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim crying. And I'll never forget it, you know, when you have that experience. He says, "Viz alzeh amru." The Gemara says that the Malach Ashores, came to complain when Rabbi Akiva was tortured, and they said, "Kach ol machshava lefanai." In other words, there's a concept called machshava. Machshava is what we call the shoresh, the source of everything. And he says, "Hayinikra Akiva ben Yosef, haykamo Mashiach ben Yosef." The idea of a Ben Yosef is the idea of a Mashiach. There's going to be a Mashiach ben Yehuda, but there's Mashiach ben Yosef, and that is Rabbi Akiva, in the original form of it. And the death of Rabbi Akiva is acceptable because that's Mashiach ben Yosef. That's not Mashiach ben David. Uminastama yenitzach lios kein l'tovas Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva's entire life was dedicated for the benefit of the Jewish people. Everything he did was Mesiris Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. And even the way he died was somehow beneficial to Klal Yisrael. V'cheino yenitzrach Rabbi Akiva l'chein kavu hilula v'yom p'tiras Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The yom hilula that's inherent in Rabbi Akiva's death was transferred over to the day in which Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was really the one who transmitted the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore Minastam Nolad Rabbi Yeshua. That this is amazing. Okay, this part again, I think we're going to leave maybe for another occasion because it requires a whole different study. Now let's see. What time is it now? It's about 11:45.
10 to 12
already. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. I went a little bit longer than I intended because I really wanted to show you a pre-tzaddik on Parshas B'chukosai, which is here in Israel this week's parsha, and I wanted to see if we could connect the pre-chadash on B'chukosai with this pre-chadash on Lag BaOmer and see if we can make a connection between the two. So for that, we'll have to.
Is this paragraph part of the continuation of
Tzadik? Yeah, I mean the only. Do you know Shalom Auerbach? He comes to my shiurim on Mondays and Wednesdays. A tall fellow, you'll see him around. He learns a lot with Rabbi Winston, so he does me a favor, and he takes these pages, which we get from Rav Noach Aldbaum. I think I mentioned it many times. And what he does is he goes back through Bar Ilan to the original and he finds translations over the internet. So what he did is he spliced in this translation of the Pasuk in Koheles and the original language of the Medrash Rabbah in order to make it more feasible or more palatable for us to go through Reb Tzadok HaKohen. But really, Reb Tzadok HaKohen continues here. In the original, for example, which is this, you won't see any breakup here. It goes straight from the word V'chulei to Bayom Shenistalik. So if you want a copy of the original, I can give you that. But he's only enhancing the original. Okay, Rabosai, so we'll end here. And I hope this was meaningful for you. There are a lot of concepts here that go beyond our comprehension, but I did want to give you a sense of what Yom Hilula Dereb Shimba Yochai is all about. Okay then? Okay, back to you. I just want to say that the next part that I don't feel prepared to discuss is, you may know that a tzaddik dies usually on the same day as his birth. Now, it's logical and intuitive that on the day of someone's birth, you know, we celebrate. And Reb Shimon bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer, but he was also born on Lag BaOmer. So the Hilula of Reb Shimon bar Yochai really means that on the one hand, the birthday of Reb Shimon bar Yochai is Hod Shebahod, because he represents Hod Shebahod. But on the other hand, the day of his death is also a celebration, because that's when we, his Talmidim, so to speak, have to step into his shoes and take over. He passes us the baton, and now the Torah of Reb Shimon bar Yochai is Kavua V'Libam, and now we can hopefully flourish with the Torah of Reb Shimon bar Yochai. And he quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, Minayin Shebizayin Ador Nolad Moshe. The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph proves that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Ador, because there's a principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Hu Memalei Shnoseihem Shel Tzadikim Miyom Liyom Michodesh Lechodesh Shenemar Es Mispar Yomecha Amalef. God completes the mispar of his days. And therefore, if Rabbi Akiva died, if Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, then he was born on the 7th of Adar. And now we can assume that if Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer, then likewise he was born on Davar Omer, which means, B'yom ze yorda nefesh ze, on that day of Lag BaOmer, there was a Yuridas HaNefesh, meaning the soul of Rav Shimon bar Yochai came from the Otsar, you know, the treasury above of Neshamos, and came down into this world to bring the Shorash of Torah Shebal Peh of Rabbi Akiva and transmit it to the next generation. And Omalo, the Yushalmi says, Omalo Rabbi Akiva, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Dayecha Shani Uboracha Makirin Kochacha. That I and the Ribbono Shel Olam recognize your great power, Rav Shimon. Shlo Hayishum Adam Makir Kocho. At that point, it was not known in the world that he, Rav Shimon, was so singular and so unique. Rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbi Akiva. And why Rabbi Akiva? Shal Yeshoresh Torah Shebal Peh. Ubechol Shanak Shebaz Yom Zeh, every year in and year out, on Lamed Gimel BaOmer, Yachol Kol Adam Lizkos Lufi Kocho Lahasig Kvius Divrei Torah Sheyored BeYom Zeh BeTorah Shebal Peh L'Chein Kavua Kemoi. Every year on Lag BaOmer, each one of us has the ability, insofar as it's the day of the passing of Shimon bar Yochai, to be Koveh the Divrei Torah of the early generations in our hearts. It becomes like a new day of the giving of Torah Shebal Peh. It's an amazing potential on this day. So we're not just saying that on that very, very day of the very year in which Reb Shimon bar Yochai died, there is this great, the great, awesome experience of being Koveh Divrei Torah B'Lev, a new Yeridas HaTorah, but even annually, because that's the way the Jewish calendar works. You know, it's a spiral, and we keep going around and around onto those days. And when we come to Lag BaOmer, we have a tremendous propensity to be zocher, all each and every one of us, according to his potential koach, to obtain and possess the kvius divrei Torah that came down through the life and during the life of Reb Shimon bar Yochai, was transmitted by this great giant of our people. And you know, Rav Tzadik, you know, in other places speaks about the power of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the Kabbalah in general, and how Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Zohar impacted on Klal Yisrael. Now, I wanted to point out that in Parshas Bechukosai, the Medrash says that in Bechukosai Telechu Chukim Shebehem Chakakti Es Hashemai Varet Shenemarim Lo Brisi Yomam Valayla Chukos Shemaim Lo Samti Chukim Shebehem Chakakti Es Hashemes Vesireach. And Chazal in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Omer Ablozikol Adam Li Amel Nivra Shenemar Ki Adam Li Amel Yulad En Yodem Li Amel Peh Nivram Li Amel Molocha Nivra Kshu Omer Ki Achof Alay Piyu Olav Piyu Havi Amel Amel Peh Nivra Adayin En Yodem Im Li Amel Torah Im Li Amel Sicha Kshu Omer Loi Mush Sefer Torah Zem Mi Picha Havi Omer Li Omel Torah Nivra. Vahaya Vahainu Di Omer Rava Kule Gufi Deruftiki Ninhu. And if you take a look in the piece here, you'll see from Rav Tzadik HaKohen in Pri Tzadik for Parshas Bechukosai, he quotes this Medrash and he says, Chukos Shomaim Lo Samti and Chakakti Yisrael Shomaim Va'oretz Choshev Shom Arbal Lashonis HaMachuvon Hu Mashapirush Rashi Mitoris Kohenim Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah V'yomarnu Dahainu Torah Shebal Peh. So we began speaking about the Shorash of Torah Shebal Peh, Rav Yekiva, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Amelus here is what's emphasized, because Torah Shebal Peh is not just handed to you on a silver platter. It requires a great deal of work. V'hainu the Torah Shebal Peh Sheba V'omel V'yigia. And here he quotes that Tanchuma that I referenced earlier in the Shia from Parshas Noach. Zeu chukim shebem chakakti shamayim v'aretz. Kemo she'amru ani hayisi kli umnoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah itself becomes the kli, the utensil that's used for creation of Shamayim V'aretz. B'tuvah mechadish b'kayom tovim ma'asev reishis. And just like there's a creative process that is ongoing, continuous b'chol yom, so too there's a chidush of Torah that's b'chol yom. Haynu ayidei chidush halacha shekadosh baruch mechadish b'bezdin shel mala b'chol yom. V'atalmidei chachamim shelahem nimsar hachidush b'torah shebal peh nikru bonei olam. So that creative process is implemented not just by HaKadosh Baruch, but also by Talmidei Chachamim on a daily basis. They are called the Bonei Olam. They really keep up the world and create the world. Kmo Sha'am, the Gemara says in Brachos, V'Rav Shalom, Banayich, Al Tikri Banayich, Al Bonayich. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Yudalid, Mai Bnon, Elu, Talmidei Chachamim, She'oskim, B'binyano Shalom. It's the Talmidei Chachamim who are building the world. V'zeu Chukim, Shebahem Chakakti, She'teyamelim B'Torah. The initial beginning of Parshas Bechukosai is Amelus B'Torah. Heim Chukim Shalisha Chakakti Bohem Kol Abriya. These are the Chukim which really create and recreate on a constant basis the entire Bria. This is the concept of Chidush B'Torah, of Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Shoresh of creativity. And creativity not only in terms of the abstract world of Torah, but also creativity in the very physical material world of the Asura Mamoros, the Mechadish B'chol Yom Tomid Maaseh Bereishis. So on Lag BaOmer, when we celebrate Hod Shebahod, the most creative part, the Torah Shebal Peh, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai takes us back to the Shoresh of Torah Shebal Peh, which is Rabbi Akiva, that celebration is the celebration of the key of keys of the entire universe, because it's the creativity of Torah Shebal Peh as it continues and flourishes that is responsible for the ongoing creativity of the world of Mechadish B'chol Yom Tomid Maaseh Bereishis. So the celebration of the Hilulah of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai takes on an additional meaning and simcha, this Lag BaOmer of Hod Shebahod, which is the apex of the fifth week of the Omer, Lag BaOmer, takes on a tremendous meaning, a tremendous impact of Simcha and Yiratzon, that we should be Zoche, as Rav Tzadok says it, to this day, which is so Mesugal Lizkos, Bekol Kocho, Lahasik Vias Divrei Torah Belibo. It's a Yerida on this day of the Torah, Min HaShemayim Tosh Bal Peh. It's a Moed, and it's got to be appreciated, and it's a day in which we can really set our goals and strive higher and higher, and we should be Zochan this Yom HaDilulah to do so, and to achieve great things in Torah Shebal Peh, Ken Yiratzon. Amen.